Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Access Astrology. We are three astrologers who love our work and want to share it with the public. So we like to take astrology and make it as accessible to you as we can while still being fascinated by all the intricate ways that it unfolds. And I am Heather Rowan Robbins, and I'm speaking to you tonight from St. Paul, Minnesota. And I'm joined here by Mark.
Mark Wolf in New York City on the island of Manhattan, over on the west side by the Hudson River. And over on the east side is...
Ann Ortley at my bright red desk, hanging out at 48 degrees. It's cold again. Suddenly it's cold. But, yes. Lovely May week.
I hear, yes, you got snow, I gather.
Yeah, Pennsylvania did. Mm-hmm. We just had a lot of rain.
We didn't see snow here, but
yeah,
that's good.
A little further
away. Discouraging. But
which is too bad because a lot of blossoms were out.
I bet.
And, I think the hit of the snow could affect a lot of, like, apples.
Yeah, we lost some of the crops here, which is terribly sad.
Yeah.
But it's not unexpected in the global changes. We are going to have to deal with more and more of our planets and our people adapting to changing circumstances. And like so many times, we would like to fix as much as we can, but the capacity to adapt will be the survival skill. And some interesting adapting aspects this weekend on just our capacity to adapt to the exciting changes that might be cooking in our life. So we're going to talk a little bit in the first few minutes here about astrology and what's going on at this astro moment. And then we'll open up the lines and take callers. Anne, would you like to give out the number that they can call in?
Sure. The number for calling is... 347-215-8881, 347-215-8881. We'll be taking callers after we do a little of what's going on in the heavens.
All right. And we'll also ask if you haven't been on the show in the last few weeks. And was that beautiful new moon this weekend? We could feel that new moon in Taurus, the most fertile weekend of the year, an important time to plant ideas that were ripe with change as Mercury conjunct Uranus was a great time to talk about change in astrology or change in changing thoughts, new ideas, new possibilities, and then plant those changes with action in this Taurus moon. Now, today I just looked outside and the sky is beautiful. There's a moon Venus conjunction, and right now they're about 11 degrees apart, so they'll be conjunct tomorrow night. And it is just gorgeous. If you ran outside and looked to the east, they're close to setting, and they are in beautiful relationship.
We're missing that here because it's cloudy, rainy.
And in very verbal Gemini, so it's a good night to be talking with each other.
Yeah.
How did you two experience that Taurus new moon this last weekend?
I kind of did. I went to see the chimpanzee monkey movie that Disney just came out with, Nature Disney, and watched the chimpanzees and ate really good popcorn and, cried and laughed and went, wow, we're really a lot like chimps. It was very fun. So I did nature in the chip movie. And about halfway through, I was with a friend and, bad stuff happened, as things do. And I was like, oh, and my friend was like, oh, and the whole audience went, oh, and it was a very New York moment because the whole audience went, oh, no. It was kind of one of those New York moments. So I had a good time watching the chip.
Good.
That was my nature movie. It was the Disney Nature Channel, or the Disney Nature Division, and I recommend the movie highly. It was really good. And it makes you realize we are really kind of like them. And actually, when you finished watching it, you were kind of like you wanted to go crack some nuts and be part of nature. It was very, it kind of got you back to basics. So
that's a beautiful Beautiful.
That was my adventure, was the chimpanzee movie.
That's earthy. That was your grounding in the
That was my grounding, and then we went
and
out for noodles across the street.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mark, what did you do?
Do you have any Taurus moon experience?
Well,
what seeds did you plant this weekend?
Actually, no seeds because the rain came in. I was going to try to mm-hmm. turn over some soil in the garden, but
mm-hmm.
the rain came in on Sunday.
And, any metaphorical seeds?
But yeah, well, I was in yoga classes Saturday and Sunday, and then I also swam both days. So
mm-hmm.
to me, that's very earthy. Even though swimming is watery, to me it's grounding.
I can
feel like the water feels like ground to me. So.
Well, with a moon and a water sign that you have, often our moon
right.
sign helps us ground.
Yeah, absolutely.
It helps us kind of come back to our center and our home.
Yep.
Yeah, and I love swimming underwater.
Mm,
so
that's perfect with the Scorpio moon.
That's my Scorpio moon, right?
And what did you do, Heather?
I went, Ariel Gutman was in town, and we did a day-long workshop on her interesting new work with the Venus star point, with the, you know how you look at a chart for the eclipse point before a person was born, and,
mm-hmm.
and that eclipse point resonates in their chart and all that time until the next eclipse point. She's been doing some really fascinating research on the Kazemi point, the conjunction between Venus and the Sun, the exact conjunction before you were born, and how that resonates for the whole time until the next Venus-Sun conjunction. And she broke us up, how Venus, those Venus points form a pentacle in the sky, and the lines of support between you and the other five Venus point signs that you relate to in your generation. And we broke up the groups into the various tables by Venus points, by, you know, all the people that were born with the Virgo Venus point and the Aries Venus point, and everybody was just acting out their Venus points perfectly. You couldn't get the Aquarians to sit still. The Scorpios wouldn't talk about it. You know, it was pretty funny.
Hmm.
And then we looked at all the dynamics in our family patterns using her interesting new work on Venus point, and I was fascinated. It just broke down my family patterns and how, who supports who and how, and who is, you know, really karmically related by lineage with whom. It was really interesting. I highly recommend her.
Wow. Is it a book, or is she just doing
workshops?
Yes,
it's a book.
Mm-hmm.
It's a book and a workshop. She's, you know, after 7 years of research, she wrote a book, you know, and the Venus rising and the Venus point work, and is going around the country doing some workshops with this. Really fascinating stuff and very accessible. It's very usable at many levels of astrology, and I found it very useful.
And she explains how to figure it all out. So you can, you know,
go to sophiavenus.com to
mm-hmm.
go more about her chart and about how to reach into this work.
Oh, that's cool.
Venus Star Point.
Okay, cool. Very good.
And it's so I planted a change in my astrological thinking this weekend.
Ah.
And I found that's Uranus Mercury conjunction.
Yep, we love that Uranus Mercury.
That thinking. But I think we're going to see lots of different ways that this weekend has more information. I think a lot of people have been feeling a little neurologically fried this week, too much, too soon,
mm-hmm.
a bombardment, or just feeling, you know, frazzled or losing their keys, just because, which I did many times, because of that Mercury-Uranus conjunction in fire sign. And how that kind of restless energy, as it, you know, made it hard for us to keep track of things, also has kind of cracked open some of our limited senses of possibility. And like you would crack open the ground before you plant seeds.
Or the monkeys crack the nuts open.
Really.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And that there's been some interesting potential cracked open this weekend that we may not see yet.
Mm-hmm.
that I'm very excited about, especially as it's followed up by a grand trine in Earth signs at the moment, with Mars at 4 Virgo trining the Sun at 4 Taurus, and both trining Pluto at 9 Capricorn. So all this week and into next week, we've got this Earth sign grand trine that will back up any change we instigate with that Mercury-Uranus conjunction. So let's keep putting some effort into the changes we want to see. Be the changes you want.
Mm-hmm.
And any other comments that you can think of for what's coming up this week? We've got some really tough Mercury aspects as Mercury comes to square that Pluto and
well, you joined Uranus on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Mercury Uranus, you know, the two things: Mercury hits the Uranus Pluto point, and then the Moon does right behind him. And Mercury's now in Aries, and he's at the degree of the Uranus Pluto station coming. So I think that we're going to get a precursor of what our journey is going to be with the Uranus Pluto station this week. Our own individual, you know, we're going to have that's how it's going to show up. Okay, that's who I'm going to have to work with as we go through that change ahead. That's seven changes, and this kind of triggers that energy because they're both going in the right direction now. They're heading towards each other, and we also have a very strong energy of wanting to start a story, you know, because Mercury's out of his shadow and Venus is in Gemini. So I think the energy of change that we're going to have with that Uranus-Pluto thing gets set off this week. We find out what the story is we're going to be working with. So I think it's important to watch what you hear about or what story surfaces in your life around the Aries-Capricorn axis, because that's the place to work.
And how would you describe that to people?
To my mind, the Uranus is the energy of change, the energy of standing in your looking at the conventions that you've accepted in your life and deciding which ones you want to keep and which ones you want to get rid of. And then the Pluto is the acceptance or the denial of power. And in many cases, when we're having a big Pluto transit, it's about us learning how to use our power skills in a different way. So my imagery of it is the movie Whale Rider with a little girl who is supposed to be the king, and her grandfather says, no, you can't, you're the girl. And she just keeps doing her thing, you know. Mm-hmm. She's like not going to be dissuaded. She just does what she needs to do to get to what she wants, which is, you know, I'm supposed to be the whale rider. You know, she knows her own core, and she keeps going. And then he, of course, eventually changes. So I think we're going to have this, where we're going to have to stand and own our own individual strengths, our own individual Plutos, you know, our own power, and stand in that comfort of this is who I am. And I know when you finish a really good Pluto transit, one of the hallmarks of it is you go, never want to do it again, but I learned a lot, and I'll never forget it, and thanks, you know. Thanks for the memories. And I think...
Thanks, but stay away, please. Yeah.
Well, but it always is transformative, where there's this kind of coming into your own on a different level that Pluto brings to us that, he makes us really appreciate our lives on a whole different level, especially once we're finished with one of his little visions. So I think this week for me is watching how that story shows up, because with Mercury out of his shadow now heading forward and stimulating it, I think we'll get a clear picture of what we're going to be working with.
I like that way of looking at it, and it's really the Uranus-Pluto thing is there to help us realize the difference between having the feeling of needing to rebel and revolt and fight against what we don't want, as opposed to just simply being in our power and focused on what it is we do.
Right.
And, you know, we lose a lot of energy opposing what we don't want to do and insisting that that's not me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when we can sort of realize we don't have to spend as much energy on that as we do, and we can just simply be who we are and do what we're doing, that's the Pluto focus, then it all lines up.
Right.
And then you don't have to revolt because you're not drawn into something that isn't you. But, you know, it takes a while to get there. And so it's a necessary thing to do to the reacting against what we don't want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is part of learning what we do want. But the longer
right.
we stay in that, then at a certain point it becomes a drain. And
right.
this Pluto Uranus square will really help us to step out of that and just into simply focusing.
And in this week, as Mercury squares Pluto tomorrow and the next day, we may be feeling exhausted or tired, to be more aware of what we don't want than what we do want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, but I think it's also, I'm seeing us, you know, whenever Mercury does an aspect Pluto, we often have some pretty morbid headlines, like the story of the police looking for the missing boy that was killed so many years ago in New York City, the
mm-hmm.
missing corpse.
Right.
They didn't
mm-hmm.
find him. But that sort of stirring up the past and looking for the hidden corpse is very Mercury Pluto.
Right.
Yeah.
And there were some pretty gruesome headlines in the news this weekend.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And to look at those and not just get morbidly fascinated, like, oh, look at that. Oh, that's gross. I can't take my eyes away. But more in the face of life and death, Pluto keeps asking, what really matters and how do we get back on track?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we
mm-hmm.
see a problem, don't get stuck there. What do you want to do about it? You see, you feel some urgency. How do you let go of what's superfluous? Because that Mercury Uranus can bring up so much mental static and come back to what matters. You know, what's got staying power with you. So we may see, you know, what sorts us along the way there. And do we have any callers on the line?
I will look. We do.
And while you're doing so, also give out that phone number.
Our phone number again is 347-215-8881. Okay, so we have a 585. Hi, 585-613, you're on the air. How can we help?
Hi, it's Aeolia in Rochester, and we got a lot of snow.
Oh, snow in time for the May Day.
I was planning on
doing
some more things in the garden, but instead I had to plant seeds this weekend in the house.
Aww. I bet.
So,
you had to shovel.
Yeah, well, no, I'm avoiding that, but...
good.
Yeah. So, 2:14:51.
Okay.
9:06 a.m. in Chicago, Illinois. And I'm specifically...
At 9:06?
Uh-huh, 9:06 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering about health aspects. What's going on health-wise?
Okay.
If you could help me with
okay,
that.
Okay, repeat the date again, please.
2:14. Mm-hmm. 5151.
Okay, 2:14:51. Yeah.
And the time?
9:09 a.m.
9:06 a.m. Chicago, Illinois.
9:06 a.m. See there, it's a numeric dyslexic than I am. Being numerically dyslexic helps me read a chart upside down and sideways.
But on the bad days. It makes it hard to,
to be very careful. That I keep me off a register and I have to watch they don't interpolate the word. So you are born natally with your moon in Gemini at 3 degrees and
mm-hmm.
Mars, Venus, and Jupiter all lined up from 14 to 18 degrees of Pisces.
Mm-hmm.
Aquarius, moon in Gemini, Aries rising. And you have your Uranus at 5 degrees of Cancer. So Pluto has been opposing your Uranus. Uranus is squaring your Uranus. And that can be really frying on the nervous system.
Mm.
And you, was there a specific question that you were asking about your health? You're so permeable. You're so receptive in the best and the worst of ways. It looks like you're very easily helped by, or, you know, that you always need to take a holistic and subtle approach to your health because you're very sensitive in the best and worst of ways. But you may be affected by subtle healing methods that not everybody's affected by.
Yeah,
but,
I am very fortunate to know a lot of really good healers and traditional medicine a lot. It's just the last couple weeks, month or so, I've just been physically myself feeling so poorly. I actually had tests done Friday and today to rule out really bad stuff, and I don't have those results yet, and you know, I'm hopeful that it's going to rule out the really bad stuff, but I'm still left feeling physically really just awful, sluggish and, you know, bloated and just all kinds of stuff.
Well,
but,
what was going on in your chart about 4 months ago when your progressed moon conjunct Pluto?
Because
it looks like a big emotional hit to the heart. Like, you know, it's a time often of feeling like something is wrong in the house or something is wrong in the family or just not feeling as at home in your life as you have in the past.
Yeah, it's hard to pinpoint, Heather.
Okay. Think about that. Your chart is so permeable. I'm wondering if there is, you know, I look at this and I would ask for a systemic yeast condition or Lyme disease or one of the kind of small, slow ways where it feels like, is your body your own, or are you dealing with, are so permeable that you've taken in organisms that are trying to set up home in your system and you need to reclaim your space and reclaim your body?
Mm-hmm.
So that would be one place I would have you tested for. And that, in general, your nervous system just feels more like it's an energetic leaking, like you're, you know, like a wire that's a little shorted out. And there's a lot of energy going out of you and not much room to kind of collect the energy and build up the core. And that can be from something physically that's draining you, like systemic yeast condition or Lyme's disease or one of the, or something parasitic. Or it can be just energetically you're a little fried, doing too many things, or your mind is going in different places, and it's hard to build up your reserves. And I would look back to something that was going on, or, you know, a mold response, that something that was going on about 4 months ago as key to what's happening with your health. And what do you see?
Well, I'm noticing the Mars square the moon, stationing on the moon in Gemini, which gives, to me, that goes back to the beginning of November, you know, that second week in November.
Mm-hmm.
And the moon is the ruler of the mind and the unconscious, you know, the third house, and Mars is in the sixth. So Mars has been rolling back and forth in the sixth house, and natally it's in the 12th. So we've had a Mars, you've had two Mars oppositions already. And then he's going to go, you know, he just stationed to go forward. And he's at the degree of 6 Scorpio. So 6 Scorpio to me is an infection. And it's also the uterine area. And it's a trine to Uranus. So I would be curious if there was some kind of Moon Mars or Uranus Pluto, you know, some kind of, you know, uterine cyst or some kind of, I would go with a yeast infection, some kind of systemic thing with the female parts, that's causing kind of an autoimmune response in your body. And with Neptune in the sixth house, natally he just changed signs into Pisces, so that to me is lymphatic or autoimmune something running. So I would check autoimmune stuff, and I think it's tied to You know, it's might even be just allergic reaction, you know, that your system with Neptune entering Pisces, your system just ratcheted up a degree of sensitivity. And I would do a elimination diet on some of the more allergic foods, and I would go alkaline, you know, eat alkaline foods and see if that helps, because a lot of the work with this chart, because of the sensitivity, the Mercury trine, the Moon, and the Saturn, it's a little wide to Saturn, but I give it to you, but it's a body, you know, you can have weird allergic reactions to stuff. So I would look to see if there were any new chemicals introduced into the house, chemical sensitivities, or if there's a change in your food or a change in your prescriptions, if you're on a prescription of some sort, you know, that maybe it's being filled with a different med and you're actually having a reaction to that. You know, it's something subtle, but it's weird. But now that Mars is going direct, you should be able to find it.
Out.
Yeah, it'll be easy to find.
Well, the advantage is I don't see any signs of any of the really big bad things.
Yeah.
The disadvantage is it feels like a fairly complex but not terrible, but something that needs a pretty holistic approach to dealing with, that in that involves finding good ways of being sensitive and not just difficult ways of being sensitive.
Yeah.
And that I agree with Anne that with Mars direct, it'll be there's much more hope in the weeks ahead of getting to the root at it. And in meanwhile, anything you can do to collect your energy, and that can be meditation, that can be just like minimizing what is not important to you, but really building up your energy on what is, of noticing which foods drain you and which foods give you energy, that can begin the process of rebuilding your reserves while you're trying to figure out what it is that's draining you.
Yeah. Mark, mm-hmm.
I agree with all of that, and it does seem to be something to do with you know, a high sensitivity. There may be a cumulative effect that's leading to an autoimmune response. And autoimmune is not very well understood, but it has a lot to do with sensitivity, and we could say oversensitivity, which carries a double, you know, blessing in a way, because it's your way out of the problem as well. So what you have to do is treat your body and your mind as your own laboratory. And just go in and use all of your sensitivity now to get the nuances of how this affects you and how that affects you. Not to over-worry it and, you know, not to, you know, get like obsessive with it, but instead in a very gentle way, just seeing, not so much by deliberately experimenting as by just noticing how things that you're drawn to affect you and how things that you have an aversion to, what's the reason for that? And then kind of keeping a notebook on it and, you know, determining from that what's going to be your course. And you'll do a self-correction. You know, but I guess the way to handle autoimmune is through self-correction, you know.
And health. I mean, I'm allergic to my own antibodies, so I sympathize. That Mars in the 12th house and in Pisces, it's kind of, sometimes our immune systems can get confused as to who's the bad guy and who's the way forward. And, you know, as going ahead with all of the tests that you're going through and, you know, taking good care of yourself the ordinary ways, to continue to talk to your immune system and say, you know, this is me. We don't attack me. That's the bad guy. We deal with that. You know, get the germ, don't get the body, and talk it through. And keep us posted on how that turns out.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I appreciate all your input, guys.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Good
Take
night.
Care. We're
Bye.
Reaching the end of our hour here.
Our
half
hour's
hour.
Over. Yep.
And so we're going to tie into, remember to plant the seeds that you want to grow, and that's metaphorically as well as emotionally. Look at how you're using your resources and use them in the best ways as the week progresses. And this is Heather Rowan Robbins signing out from St. Paul, Minnesota, and joined by...
Mark Waltz in New York City.
And Ann Ortley in New York City.
And will you be seen tomorrow night?
Yep, we're at East West. We're not East West. The Open Center tomorrow night.
Open Center.
East West doesn't
exist.
In New York City.
And I'm taking a month off from living astrology classes here in the Twin Cities, but we'll start again in June. We look forward to, and we can all be reached for individual readings. You can find our emails on that the Access Astrology webpage on the Blog Talk Radio.
And have a great week.
And good night.
Bye.
Good night.